Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say it with me. The Lord's good, and His mercies endure forever. The Lord is good, and His mercies endure forever. Now make it personal. The Lord is good to me, and His mercies endure toward me forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated if you like to. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody tonight. Why don't y'all give this wonderful group a big thank you? That's awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you expecting some miracles? Praise God. Let me tell you some stories. Can I tell you some stories? I like to tell some stories just to kind of inspire your faith a little bit. There's some people that hadn't been here the last two nights. Actually, is she back there with the kids? Okay, so we had a girl last night. We didn't pray for her, didn't lay hands. Huh? Oh, yeah, and you too. We had a young girl, didn't lay hands on her, didn't pray for her or anything. She was just sitting back here, and we're trying to finish up the service. Nobody let me shut up, but we're trying to finish up the service. And so I give the mic to Pastor, and Pastor gets talking. She raised her hand, she comes up, and she says that while she was sitting back there, while we were preaching, that she took her glasses off to rub her eyes, and when she started rubbing her eyes, she noticed she could see without her glasses. And you know what's so great about it? Nobody could go, man, look how anointed Pastor Chad is. Come on. Because this wasn't supposed to be about getting to a man or a woman. Because if you're a Christian, you already got to the man. See, that's where we missed it back in the 40s and the 50s. It was all about getting to the man. It's all about getting to the woman, you know. But when you got saved, you got in the man. Well, we could end on that. That was good enough, right? All right, if you got your Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Again, like we told you Sunday morning, last night, we're going to be looking at the same scriptures over and over and over again. And we're going to make sure that you get it. And this week, I'm endeavoring to use my new Bible. This is an anointed Bible because this Bible came from Dean Tad. I've been rubbing it all over me all. Yeah, I'm trying to get some points, so. There's that same spray from Kenya. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So right here we find creation. And you know, creation is awesome because it's not just about the birds and the bees and the trees. It's about you and me. There's so wonderful, so many wonderful things here about you and I as far as our identity and finding out who we truly are. You know, so many of us, we wake up in the morning, we go look in the mirror, and we look at how sexy we are and how pretty we are, and we think that's us, but that's not really you. You know, you need to find out in the Word who you really are, and once you begin to find out who you really are, then you don't have to work up something. You just begin to work out who you are, and it becomes just effortless. Because, you know, I'm not trying to be any more Chad than I am. It just kind of happens, and it's fortunate or unfortunate for some people, you know. It's just me. And you don't wake up in the morning trying to be you. You just be you. Why? Because that's who you are. So that's why we spend so much time talking about our identity in Christ, our union with Christ, because I'm tired of seeing people frustrated. And I'm tired of seeing people working and getting no pay. You know? So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, God said what? Let's make man in whose image? Now, whose idea was this? This is God. He said, let's make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Remember that phrase, over what? Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so, like we pointed out last night, for all the dumb people, he repeats it again. God created man in whose image? He created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And so if you go down to verse 7, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, God, he formed man from the dust of the ground. And then what happened? It says he breathed the breath of life. He put his life inside that body. And what happened when the life of God got inside the body? All of a sudden the body went, woo. So in other words, the life of God that got in there, the life of God was made to impact the body. And the body was made to respond to the life of God. You could say it this way, that the body was made to be a slave to the life of God. That was God's original plan for man. That was God's original intent for man. Now, if you just hang out there, you can start seeing where we've sold ourselves short big time. You know, anybody ever saw Frosty the Snowman? I'm telling you, there's scripture in there. Because when... I like it. I mean, because I see some things about me there in Frosty the Snowman. Because, you know, you saw Frosty the Snowman. They made, you know, this cutesy little snowman, a big ball of snow, and they dressed it all up. But, you know, nothing happened until they put the magic hat on there. And as soon as the power got on there, happy birthday! And he comes alive. But as soon as the power went away, all of a sudden, he's nothing. He's nothing. Well, what happened when Adam sold out? The Bible says that he died spiritually. And when he died spiritually, he lost the life of God. Right? And then what happened once the life of God departed from his body? All of a sudden now, well, not only naked, you need a dirty mind. So the life of God departs, and all of a sudden, sickness, disease, all of a sudden, now these things are, this thing's susceptible to it. Right? Okay, but we know that Jesus comes, right? Jesus comes, and in John chapter 1, we find out some things about Jesus. John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and you got John. And we're going to go through some scriptures in John. John chapter 1, and in verse 4 it says what? And again, these are all scriptures you know. All we're going to do is try to help you, endeavor to help you see these in a little bit different light. In him was what? Life. All right? So what did God put into man's body in the very beginning? His life, okay? And then we see that Adam lost that. And when Adam lost that, all of a sudden, now we see sin and we see sickness and we see disease and we see death and all these things showing up, okay? But then it says that in Christ there was life. And that life was the what? It was the light of men. So in Jesus was what? Life, okay? Life there. Light there. All right? And then if you turn to John chapter 5 and verse 21... Look at what Jesus says about himself in verse 21. He says, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life. So he said, in the very way that the Father gives life away, he said, the Son gives life away. Well, you can't give away something that you don't possess. Now, you know, Pastor Rennie now has a gift card that he could give away to anybody in here he wants. Why? Because he's a possessor. See, he wasn't a possessor before. He couldn't have given you anything. Now he's a possessor. And any of you that need some tools, he can give it away to whomever he will. Why? Because it's his stuff. And whatever is yours, you can give it away. And you don't have to ask anybody's permission. Jesus said, it's mine. Just like the Father does it, I can do it too. Now, without going to all the scriptures, if you go through John, look at how many times you see Jesus say, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And he said, I don't do the work. It's the Father on the inside of me who does the works. And yet he'd say, but if you don't believe the works that I do, then don't believe. Like it's like you hear him saying it's me and then you hear him saying it's God. But actually it's just it's a team deal. Why? Because they're one. They're one. So because of his union with the Father, everything that's flowing in the Father is now flowing in the Son. And then if you go to verse 26, look at verse 26. Verse 21 says he can give this life away. And then verse 26. Dun, dun, dun. For as the Father has what? Life in himself. So he has granted the Son to have life in. So the very same life that the Father has, he says, the very same life that I have as his Son. Why? Because I am one with Him. I am in union with Him. And because I have this life now, I'm a possessor of it. I can give it away too. And so think about, you know, we've talked about these things before. A lot of people take this and we just relegate it to salvation and then just water it down even more and then just go into heaven, that it's eternal life. But if you'll notice, Jesus is talking about giving some stuff away. And so just like we saw last night, that your salvation was not meant to just change your destination. Your salvation was meant to change your position. And then because of the change of your position, the automatic byproduct is your destination changes. But see, if you're always focused on your destination, then you're not going to enjoy the benefits of the position right now. So we see that God in the very beginning, He put life in the inside of man, and the body responds to the life because that's what it was made to do. And then Adam lost that. And then Jesus, He got that same life in Him because He's one with the Father. And He said, now that I have this life, I can give it away just like the Father. And then what did He say in John chapter 10 and verse 10? Come on, you know this. What is it? The thief doesn't come to steal, kill, destroy. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you would have life. So Jesus said, I came and I have this life, but I didn't come just to enjoy it myself. I came so I could give it away. I came so you could have some too. The same life that's in the Father is the same life that's in the Son. And Jesus said, I came so you could have this very same life. And you could have it more abundantly. More abundantly. He said, I came so you could have this life. All right. So then look over at John 17. We looked at this last night. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's about to go to the cross. And he's praying to the Father. And you remember Jesus' prayer? What was his prayer to the Father? John chapter 17. You know, he said, I'm not of this world. They are not of this world. And then verse 20, he said, I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word. So right now, he's talking about you and me. Say, that's me. Jesus was praying for me back then. This scripture right here. He said, I do not pray for those alone. He said, I'm praying for the ones that are sitting in these seats. All those who will believe in me. Well, I'm a believer. I believed in him. And how many of you know Jesus' prayers always got answered? He always got his prayers answered. So this is what he was praying for you and I. He said, I pray for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, he said, I pray that they would all be what? One, as you, as. Powerful little bitty two-letter word. He said, as, in the very same degree, to the very same kind, the very same manner. He said, I pray that they would be one, Father, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they would be also one in us. He said, in the very same way I'm in union with you, and what's in you is flowing through me. I want them to be one in me, because if they get one in me and I'm already one in you, that means they're one in you too. And that means what's flowing through the Father, because Jesus is the mediator, is now flowing in you. And if you are a Christian and you're sitting here in this seat, that means that that life right now is flowing in you right now. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got in Him. And the good news is He was in the Father, so you're in Him. This is what Paul was talking about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He said that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in verse 10, and you are complete in Him. So the same life God put into Adam and Adam lost, he got put back into Jesus. And Jesus said, I came to put it into you. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? If any man be where? In Christ, he becomes a brand new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. And so if you look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, you all know this. I learned this one really good when I was going to youth at the Baptist church. I mean, this is one of our main scriptures, man. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me. So now I find that it's not even really me doing this thing. It's Jesus doing this thing in me and through me. And even if I have a hard time believing that that life is in me, well, if I can believe that I became one with Jesus, and this is saying that it's Jesus living in me, well, then whatever Jesus had when he came in, he brought the U-Haul too. And he brought all this stuff. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, you and I, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. 1 John 4:17 says, as Jesus is right now, so you are and I are right now in this world. Right now. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 7. You've all heard this stuff. You've all read this stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at what Paul says here. He says, well, actually, look at verse 6. I'm sorry. Verse 6, he said, it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And he shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember, who was it who he commanded light to? He commanded light to shine out of, right? Okay, and then verse 7, he says, and we have this treasure where? This thing that you're looking at in the mirror and go, ooh, that's good looking, you know. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's this right here? Not the body when you get to heaven. This one right here, the one that's subject to death, the mortal flesh. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of what? The power would be of God and not of. And look at verse 8. Let's read through this. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but what? Not crushed. Why? Because you got the life of God on the inside. You got the power of God on the inside. It can't crush it. It can't. John chapter 1 verse 4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the darkness could not overcome it. It could not conquer it. It could not squash the light. And God said he commanded this light to shine out of the darkness. And he said, and we have this in these earthen, this treasure in these earthen vessels. And he said, pressed, but not crushed, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed. Look at verse 10. He said, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that what? That the life of Jesus would be what? Manifest where? In our body. The life of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus would be made manifest in this body. Not be carrying around just in my spirit. No, because the life of God in your spirit was made to be manifest in your body. And when the life of God hits your body has to respond because that's what it was made to do. And notice, you don't have to work to get it to do anything. It's just what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to do that. It's what it was made to do. That the life of Jesus would be made manifest in this body. And yet for the dumb people, he says it again. Look at verse 11. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus would be made manifest. How? Where? In what? In our mortal flesh. Two times in a row. That the life of Jesus would be made manifest in this mortal body, in this flesh. That it would do something. The life of Jesus. Isn't it interesting that Paul, in the Ephesians prayers, Ephesians chapter 1, you know, he said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you'd know the hope of your calling, you know the inheritance of the saints in life, and you know the exceeding greatness of his power to us and for us who believe that raised up Christ from the dead. Notice he didn't say, I pray that you would get. He said, I pray that you would know what you've got. Isn't it interesting that Paul never teaches you how to get healed? But he does teach you how to get money. But he doesn't teach you how to get healed. Why? It's what you were made to be. Come on, we taught it last night. It's already there on the inside of you right now. Come on, let's make it. We'll look at the same scriptures we looked at last night. We'll kind of go up a different side of the mountain with it again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 was what? Any man be in Christ? Brand new creation. So what happened when you got in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Jesus who knew no sin, he became sin so that you and I would become the righteousness of God. So righteousness wasn't something that we were just given. Righteousness is something that you are. It's what you are. So you are right. Everything about you is right. Your spirit is right. You're complete. You're perfect. You're right. You are the rightness of God. And the rightness of God always overcomes and always supersedes the wrongness of this world. The righteousness of God. Well, then we saw in 1 Peter 2:24, we know, everybody knows the last part of it. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. 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 But that wasn't the focus. What was the focus? Put that one up there. First, who himself bore what? Our sins. Remember this in comparison with 2 Corinthians 5:21. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, would live for righteousness. What's the focus? It's the righteousness. And why? Because the healing is the natural byproduct of being made right. But see, we focused on the product. And our focus is on, because see, we're focusing on trying to get that thing when really if you just focus on who you are, everything you want would flow out of your union with Christ. See, come on, us faith people, we know healing has been provided. We know healing is ours. But a lot of people think God still got it. So now I got to figure out what key I got to put in the door and what knob I got to turn and what button I got to push and what lever I got to pull to get God to give it to me. And now I'm working and I'm working and I'm doing all these things trying to get my healing. And yet, while I'm walking around trying to get my healing is already on the inside of my spirit right now. All I got to do is realize that the life of God is here right now, and now I'm not begging, I'm not pleading. All I got to do is live. And things begin to flow, that the life of Jesus would be made manifest. It's why Paul doesn't teach you how to get healed. What he's trying to do, notice his prayers. I pray that you would know. I pray that you would know. I pray that you would know. I pray that you would be aware of what you have. Pray that you would know what you have. Pray that you would know what you have. Pray that you would know what you have. And see, then when where we've really got it messed up is, you know, you take the woman with the issue of blood. And we look to her as an example of how to get healed. Well, if you're a sinner, it's a great example. But when you got in Christ, you're no longer trying to get to him because you got in him. You're no longer the woman with the issue of blood trying to get to Jesus. You are one with Jesus. I'm not trying to get my healing. I got one with the healer. But see, we're pursuing the healing instead of pursuing the healer. We're pursuing the anointing instead of pursuing the anointed one. We're going after faith instead. We should just be going after the Father. We're trying to do faith without fellowship. And the only thing your faith is going to produce without the fellowship and your union is going to produce frustration. Why? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. But then we see, we know that one. Go to Galatians 2, verse 21. He says, Christ who lives in me. And he said, I do not set aside the grace of God. Anytime you start living life outside of your union with Christ, now you're going to get into works. And for many of us, we're going to call it faith. He said, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the... Now, we just saw what righteousness produced very, very quickly. What did righteousness produce? Come on, 1 Peter 2:24. What did righteousness produce? Healing. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if healing comes through... If healing comes through my works, if healing is coming through, you know, me making enough confessions and reading enough chapters. Come on. Then Jesus wasted his time. I do not set aside the grace of God. But what are we doing? Every time we try to do this stuff outside of our union with him, Man, that's where we start getting frustrated. That's where we start getting working. That's where we start getting angry. That's where we start pointing the finger, blaming God. Why won't you pay up? Why won't you pay out? Because I'm doing everything I know I'm doing to do, and you won't do what I know you're supposed to do. And yet you're the dog chasing its tail the entire time. What happened when God put life in the man? Well, then what was supposed to happen to you when Jesus got into you? And yet things haven't changed. You're still one with Him right now. And see, the thing is, it's not about your feeling. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you know. It's about what you know. Isn't it interesting that Samson... You ever read the story about Samson? You know, big, strong Samson. And they talk about how the anointing would come upon him. And he's breaking stuff and busting stuff, you know. And it's really interesting that after, you know, he let little Delilah get too good looking in his eyes and stuff. And he told her the secrets. And it says that he, after his hair was cut, he woke up that morning. And he didn't realize that the Spirit of God has left him. But what did he do? He got up and he went to do what he had always done. And it tells me that the anointing wasn't about a feeling. The life of God wasn't about a feeling. The Spirit of God on you wasn't about a feeling. It was about a knowing of what you have and who's backing you up. And yet you've got it far greater than Samson. It's not about something coming upon you. It's about something that got on the inside of you. And then how can you go through life with someone living on the inside of you and you not know it? Come on, if somebody moved in your house right now, you would know it. If they're taking up your bathroom, you would know it. If they're eating your food, you would know it. If they're in your house, wearing your boxers, you would know it. And you got somebody who moved on the inside of you, and he brought all of the resources of heaven, and he moved on the inside of you, and it was supposed to make a change in your body, and it wasn't supposed to be anything that you would ever have to work for. And Jesus was so confident that through your union with Christ and through salvation, that this would be provided for you, that he tells you, now I want you to go into all the world and preach this great gospel, and there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles that will follow, and you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover, and that same life that flowed in me is now going to flow out of you and into those bodies. But wait a minute. How can the life flow out of me into somebody else and heal them if it's not there to heal me? See, we're confident in releasing the power of God into somebody else. But if it's going to go out of me into them, isn't it there for me too? Yes. See, we believe that it's there to heal the other people. But when it comes to me, now I think God's got to get it to me. Are you kidding me? You mean God gave me stuff so I could give to the sinner? But when it comes to my stuff, I got to figure out how to get it from God? Just think about it. Come on, guys. Don't you think Jesus was enough? Remember what we talked about last night? Well, we're just going to tie all these pieces together. Remember what we talked about last night with the blessing of the Lord, Deuteronomy 28? Isn't it interesting that the blessing, verses 1 through 14, is talking about money? Talking about all this, if you do what he says to do, if you listen to his voice, all of these blessings are going to overtake you. And it's all about money. He's telling you how to get rich. He's telling you how to get all the money to you because of your covenant with him. And then verses 15 through like 1,000 something, you know, tells you all the sicknesses and all the diseases that are going to show up because of the curse. Well, how come in verses 1 through 14 of the blessing, he's not telling you about all the healing that's going to come and overtake you? Why? Because of the covenant that you have with him, the healing's already there within you. It was already there for them. They understood that as long as I walk in my covenant with him, I'm going to walk in divine health. And if a bunch of sinners could walk through the wilderness for 40 years and not get sick, not get frail, not get weak, what does that say for the saint of God, the child of God that's in union with him, that Jesus said, I'm the Son, and because I'm the Son, I've got the same life that the Father has. And 1 John John 4:4 says, you are born of God, little children. And because I came one with the Father, and Jesus is my big brother, the same life that's in him is the same life that's in me. And for us to have a better covenant established upon better promises, at the very least, I've got to have the best of what they had. And so when I got saved, that's why people, they'll sit there and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I know I'm healed. If you were healed, then you are healed. And so we say, I know I are healed. Now I just gotta get healed. Now I gotta do all these steps and stuff to get God to give me what I know is mine. Well, but which one is it? Am I are healed or am I trying to get healed? Well, if I are healed, then that means something had to have happened on the inside. See, we talked about this last night too, just as a reminder. You know, when Jesus became sin and he became your sin, God sees you as righteous. And so we see that as God seeing us forgiven, and we don't really have a problem with that. But don't you think if righteousness produced that one piece of the sin thing, and don't you think that righteousness produced the healing piece too? And if it did, if God sees you forgiven, doesn't he see you healed? Why? Because you are. And yet, what's the problem? Because this right here, we're basing this as our identity. And as soon as you start looking at this, you're done. You start looking at this, you're dead. Come on, what happened with Peter? As long as he's looking at Jesus, everything's taken care of. But as soon as he starts looking at the things of the world, bloop, 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 bloop. And as soon as you get your eyes off Jesus, you start going down, 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 down. See, we're trying to get the healing. What really all you need to do is you need to become aware of him. You need to become aware of him. Abide in him. He said, if you abide in me, you will produce much. Come on, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all this stuff will be taken care of. If you put your focus on him, stop focusing on the sickness. Stop even focusing on the healing. Stop focusing on trying to get healed. Just focus on him. Be aware of him. Be aware of your union with him. See, backsliding, you know, it's not about necessarily you sinning. Backsliding is really you being less aware of God right now than you were 5 minutes ago. Because every time the degree of your failure is really to the degree of your lack of awareness of him. Every degree that you become less aware of him is a degree that you start going backward. And you go backward. And you go backward. And the less aware you are of him, the more aware you are of going to be in this body. And I don't know about you, but I remember sitting in class back at Raymond, and I remember Brother Hagin talking about how he said, at this stage of my life, I'm more aware of God. God's more real to me right now than my wife that sleeps next to me in my bed. And as a second year student, I remember sitting there and thinking, I want that. I want that. I want that type of relationship with Jesus. I want that type of relationship with God. Not this intellectual mess that we got going on today. Come on. This wasn't designed to make us intellectual with God. The Word of God, our union with God, was made to make us intimate with God. And the thing that's missing for a lot of us right now is the intimacy. It's the fellowship. We're trying to do faith without fellowship. We're trying to do the miraculous without our union with Christ. We're focusing on all the products and all the stuff instead of simply just focusing on him. Become aware of him. One of the things I've been endeavoring to do is to make myself aware of him everywhere that I go. And yeah, it's sometimes hard. You know, you get busy and, you know, you kick the dog and, you know, people cussing out their wife and flipping you off in the car and stuff. But I started doing this thing. Anytime I think about it, I just stop. And not to be weird, and I don't do it in a public place where people can see me, but I'll just stop and say, Father, I thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you are with me. And I put my thoughts and affections on you right now. Just a couple seconds, and then you go on. And then a few minutes go by, and if you think about it, just stop. You know, Father, thank you that you're with me right now. Put my thoughts and affections on you. Come on, what did Smith Wigglesworth say when they asked him, how long do you pray? He said, I don't pray no more than 10 minutes, but I never go more than 10 minutes without prayer. It's a constant. What did Jesus say? It's abiding. It's abiding. It's abiding. It's abiding. He's the vine and you are the branch. And what's ever flowing through the vine, it's flowing through the branches. And if you'll just become aware of who you're abiding with. Come on, guys. Mark 11, verse 23. Speak to the mountain. Yeah, but what about verse 22? Have faith in God. We're trying to speak to the mountain without having faith. Why? Because even your confession should be flowing from your union with the Father. But many of us, our confession is flowing from our intellectualism instead of our confession flowing from our union with the Christ. And it's why so many of us, we're even getting frustrated with our confession because it's just turning into works. But Jesus said, I only say what I heard the Father say, I only do what I saw the Father. It's all about fellowship. If you want to know the power, you got to know Him. What'd Paul say? To know Him and to know the... But we're trying to do all the stuff without knowing Him, without being aware of Him, without being aware of our union with Him. I heard a real interesting story a while back about F.F. Bosworth. Anybody know who F.F. Bosworth is? Christ the Healer? F.F. Bosworth and T.O. Osborne. You know, T.O. Osborne was kind of a mentor of him. And T.O. Osborne told this story right before he died. About the life of God. Till Osborne said this. He said, F.F. Bosworth, and I can't remember how old F.F. was when he died. He was in his 80s, somewhere in there. And he said, F.F. Bosworth called him and he said, T.O., I'd like for you and your wife to come over to my house and pray with me. And so they went over to his house and walked in the door. And F.F. Bosworth was laying on his bed and had the pillow propped up behind his head and had his Bible out in front of him. And T.O. Osborne said, well, what's going on? What can I do for you? He said, I'm ready to go home. F.F. Bosworth said, I'm ready to go home. He said, but here's the problem. He said, here's the problem. He said, I've been preaching on the life of God for so long. I've got so much of it in my body, and my body won't let me go. He said, so I want you to pray with me to get it out. Honest to God, true story. He said, I want you to pray with me to get it out so I can go. And he said, okay. And he said, you are the only two I know of that won't think I'm nuts and will pray with me and get this out. And so T.O. Osborne and his wife, they prayed. And they all prayed together for hours and hours that day. And so at the end of that, F.F. Bosworth stopped them and he said, guys, we're almost there, but we're not there yet. I'll see you tomorrow. And so they left and they came back the next morning and they began to pray and they began to pray and they began to pray. And after some time, F.F. Bosworth stopped them and he said, we're almost there, but not quite. Come back tomorrow. So the next day they came back and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and prayed. And then at one point, F.F. Bosworth stopped them and he said, guys, we're there. And he folded his Bible, put his head back and he was gone. True story. Notice what he said. He said, I've been preaching on the life of God for so long. I've got so much of it in my body. My body won't let me. There's too much for me to go. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 10 and 11. That the life of Jesus would be made manifest in this body, in this mortal flesh. Come on, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the ages that was hidden before all time. The mystery is what? Christ in you, the hope, the expectation of the glory of God. Come on, Jesus prayed it. He said it in John 17. He said, Father, the glory that you gave me, now I have given unto them. I've given unto them. And we saw it last night, Romans chapter 8. He said, there's coming a time when the curtain of ages is going to be pulled back and it's going to be revealed unto you the glory of God that was on the inside of you the entire time. Come on, look at it. Romans chapter 8. Real quick. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. There ought to be healings happening right now. Nobody touching you. Why? Because you got in Jesus. Jesus got in you. Come on, the life of God that raised up Jesus, just begging, let me out right now in your body. Right now where you don't have to let anybody touch you. You don't have to have anybody pray on you. Thank God you don't have to have anybody spit on you, breathe a nasty breath on you. I mean, right here, right now, on the inside of you, right now. You don't have to get good enough, because if you got in Jesus, you were made perfect. It's not about if you read your Bible enough today. It's not about if you prayed 5 hours or 4 hours or 4 minutes today. Because if it was based on that, it's called works. And if you're basing it on that, you've gotten outside. You've stepped aside outside of your union with Christ. You laid aside the grace of God. And Jesus wasted his time. Come on, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be given to us." No. He didn't say when you get to heaven, the glory of God that's going to be given to you. He said there's coming a time right here that will be the glory revealed on the inside. He's going to pull open your body, let you see what was on the inside of your spirit the entire time that you walked this earth. And it's the same glory that the God of the heavens gave unto the Son, and the Son gave unto you when you got in Him. Come on, there's going to be a revealing. There's going to be a revealing. Not a giving, a revealing of what's on the inside of you right now. Right now. Right now. And it's not there just to hang out. It's there for you to release. Come on, the life of the Father is the life of the Son, and I can give it away just like the Father does. Come on, you're trying to get anointed enough. You are. You got one with Him. You're trying to get enough power. You got plenty. You got one with Him. Come on, you're trying to get enough authority, enough anointing. No, you're one with Him. When you show up, He shows up. When you show up, things begin to change in the room because of the light of God on the inside of you that was meant and designed to overcome the darkness. That's when you get around a tumor, it starts shrinking. It starts shaking. Why? It knows that the power of God just walked up to it. See, when God's leading you to go and minister something, and we start trying to work ourselves up. Work up what? It's right there. And it's so easy. It's so easy. It's so easy. It's so easy. And the more you know, the more to flow. The easier it gets. Why? Because you become aware of what's on the inside of you. Become aware of what's on the inside of you. Become aware of what's on the inside of you. 10,000 may fall at one side, 10,000 fall at the other, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because if you abide under this, the shadow of the Almighty, well, what about now you get to abide in? Come on. If you're abiding under the shadow, that's one. But then if you get to abide in Him, come on, you ought to go through and read, like we did last night, read all these stories in the Old Testament and look what these sinners were able to do. And if a sinner operating under a lesser covenant with borrowed righteousness could do those things, could slap the water and say, "Where's God?" And if old Moses, you know, a sinner and a disobedient one at that, could disobey God and go hit a rock twice just because he wanted to, even out of his disobedience, because he knew who he was, he knew what he had, he knew who he represented, even in his disobedience, he made water come out of a stinking rock. He was disobedient and still got a miracle. He knew what he had. That rod represented the anointing. That rod represented the power of God. That rod represented the dominion of the King. And who moved on the inside of you? Come on. Paul said, "Don't you know? Don't you realize that the Spirit of God lives on the inside? Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Well, if the Holy Ghost moved on the inside of you, and He's the dispenser of the gifts, and you're worried about one gift, why would you worry about an apple when you got the whole tree? Why are you worried about your healing when you got the healing power of God that moved on the inside of you and said, "I'm here"? See, when you got saved, Jesus saved you from all of your excuses. There it is. Man, you're just a lyrical king, man. Who's had some hip issues going on? Hey, hip issues? Huh? Is there anybody that's got some hip issues going on? What's going on, sir? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Well, come walk to me. Walk to me. Type 2. The diabetes is inflammation. All right, so what's on the inside of you right now? Yeah, more specifically, what's inside of you? What's that life do? Brings life. Remember in Genesis, it says that God, He gave us dominion over all the earth. And you know where your body came from? The earth. You're a dirty man. Your body came from the dirt. Your body came from the earth. And that life, when it went on the inside, it made that dirt, it made that earth. And so we see that it's so easy for the life of God. It means that this body was made to receive of the life of God. You remember when you read the story, you don't see Adam going, "Oh, I believe I receive, I believe I receive." You don't see him struggling, trying to get it in there. Why? Because the body was made to receive of it. Normally, naturally, very, very easily. You didn't have to struggle. You didn't have to try to work to get it in there. And yet the wonderful thing is it's already on the inside of there right now. The whole time you've been sitting there right now, that life has been just like a green gobbledygook because you're an alien from heaven on the inside of your spirit. And the more we've been begin talking about it, the more you've begun becoming aware of it. And as you begin aware of it while you're sitting right there, it's just been flowing through your body all in your back and your hip and your pancreas all the time right now. And you weren't even having to work for it. You weren't even having to do anything to it. You're just chilling, just sitting there, just enjoying your union with Christ. The whole time. The whole time. And it's all in there right now. Right now. Right now. Check it out.
I'm going to have to go home and walk. I mean, because that's when I know.
Well, I'll just walk around back there. I don't care. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you that are old enough, do you remember that song we used to sing a long time ago? I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a world. Down in my, yeah, I know I got the gray and it's kind of thin. Down in my soul, spring up a well and make me whole. And we sung that song so long ago and we still hadn't got it. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens the prison door, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well down in my soul, spring up a well. It makes me, guys, this is divine life. This is divine health, right? This is divine health right here. Divine health right here. Us Christians weren't meant to go miracle to miracle. We were meant to walk in divine health. Well, you can't walk in it if it's not on the inside of you, if it wasn't already given to you. Guys, this is so simple. Absolutely so. I mean, so easy a kindergartner can get it. It's so easy. I told you last night, you know, we've been talking to my little boy about it. And I was asking him about it, and now he's getting to the point where I ask him about it, and he acts like I'm stupid. Yeah. Yeah, Dad, you know, anytime I get sick, I just pray and it all goes away. Well, you know what's on the inside? Daddy, I know the life of God in me. I know. It needs to be normal to us. Come on, it'd do you good to just stop right now and say, Father, I thank you that you're with me right now. I give you my thoughts and I give you my affections. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. The life of God on the inside of me right now. The life of God on the inside of me right now. Stirring within my spirit and being released into my body. Come on, you're like a bug zapper. You're like a bug zapper. When sickness and disease tries to touch you, bzzzt, the life of God flowing into your mortal body in every cell and every fiber of your being, so that when anything of this world tries to touch the life of God, it has to bow down in submission. It has to run away and flee in terror. Because what? Because what's on the inside of you and what's flowing in your body, I mean, it just has dominion. Absolute dominion over what tries to touch it. The life of God. The life of God. The man couldn't die, couldn't get out of here because he had too much of Jesus' life in his mortal body. And he had to get it out so he could go home. I mean, true story. Straight from the mouth of Tim Horton. T.O. Osborne told that story to Tim Horton before he died. The life of God. The life of God. The life of God. Anybody had any ankle issues? Your ankle bone? Your feet's? You sure? It took y'all a while. This is your ankle right here.
Not my ankle.
Your foot. What's wrong with your foot? All the time. So is it burning, tingling right now? Try to find it. Is that normal? For it to not burn and tingle? Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, without being all spiritual and everything, is it normal for it just to be like that right now? You said it always burns and tingles.
It has
for about 2 years. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, look how hard you had to work for that. Ooh, somebody give some water and a towel. Wipe this sweat off. Who's got some shoulder issues going on? You got something in your shoulder? What's been wrong? You were painting at night? Oh, painting at night. All right, so lift it up right now and watch. Hey, this is another take on a scripture you all know. Work out your salvation. See, we want to get all religious and focus on our behavior. What if you started working out the life that's on the inside of you? Oh, what a change in my life. That's a smart man right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, somebody got something going on that I haven't mentioned? Maybe you got some issues going on. Yes, ma'am. What's going on? Everything. Anybody had any arthritis going on in any of your joints or anything? Oh, that's you? Arthritis? Yeah? Go ahead and check it out right now. Bend what's been hurting you and bothering you. Come walk with me. Come on. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. He tells me I... What's going on? Yeah? Well, that's not good. Yeah? So where's the arthritis been? So is that the biggest issue? What's wrong with your hand? Huh? Have you had problems bending it, moving it? These are not. But see, the life of God on the inside of you will produce life in whatever's dead. Remember, it always overcomes the darkness. The rightness always overcomes the wrongness. Overcomes the wrongness. Overcomes the wrongness. Overcomes the wrongness. Go and bend your fingers. Punch me. Take out all your frustrations. Huh? What? Huh? You said what? No, what would you say right here? You don't have what? You don't have strength to punch me. What? But how are your fingers feeling? What's on the inside of you? You accepted Jesus, your Savior? Well, then think about what happened when he moved on the inside of you. You realize you're more than good enough. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your past. Hey, think about this. And don't y'all freak out. Doesn't matter if you never read your Bible before. Because if you made Jesus your Savior, everything changed. You became a brand new creature in Christ. It wasn't about anything that you could do, anything that you ever would do, because when you accepted Him, you became righteous, and you became whole, and you became complete, and you became perfect in Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. In Him. Nothing to do with your past. Nothing to do with who you are, who you've been. Hallelujah. 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 We take authority over this spirit of oppression that has dominated for her for so long. We release you of that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. And you know what? You just need to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha. Free people laugh. Free people rejoice. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. You know, the Bible says that God, He laughs at His enemies. Why would you laugh at it? Hey, the enemy just left. Enemy can't come back. Free. 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 Ha, 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. You know, everybody's laughing at you right now. Woo! We're laughing with you. Ha 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 ha. Hallelujah. 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 Everything that's dominated you, done. Everything that's dominated you, under your feet. Hallelujah. Come on, let's experience some life right now. Come, hold my hand and let's just walk around. I want you to do all those things you couldn't do before. I want you to experience freedom in your joints, freedom in your back, freedom in your neck, freedom in your arm, freedom in your wrist. Come on. And strength flowing in right now. The same life that flowed in Jesus is flowing in you right now. What do you think Jesus looks like right now, seated at the right hand of God? Hey, that's you right now. That's the way you look right now. That's the way you are to live right now. The only difference between Jesus and you right now is this mortal body. This mortal body. But everything that he is got on the inside of you. And that's what's flowing in your body right now. 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 It doesn't even matter if you can't quote one scripture. It's flowing in your body right now. Flowing in your body right now. Flowing in your body right now. Come on, run with me. Come on, let's do some jumping jacks. Come on, jumping jacks. Come on. Come on, punch me. There you go. One, two, three. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can, because I said you can. I said the body can. I said you can. You just did. Watch. You just did it again. Do it again. What'd that feel like? Liberating. It's called freedom. Say this: in Christ, I always win. I always win. I always win. I always win. More than a conqueror. I always win. Always win. Every single time. And that's what you're doing right now. You're winning. You're winning. You're winning. You're winning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise God with it. Lift your hands. And let's just praise Jesus. Worship Jesus. Magnify Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's magnify Him. Lift Him up. Brag on Him. Exalt Him. Praise Him. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 The life of God flowing in your bodies right now. The life of God restoring brain cells right now. The life of God restoring memory right now. The life of God. The life of God. The life of God. Just because you get older doesn't mean you have to get dumber and lose your memory. The life of God. The life of God. If Moses could live 120, his eyes not be dim, his strength not be diminished, how much more so the life of God on the inside of you, causing your life and your body to be like Jesus on this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's don't settle for normal. Let's don't settle for status quo. Let's go further. Let's go farther. Let's start abiding in the vine. Start abiding in Him. Stop focusing on the things of the world. Let the things of the world fade away. Let the things of your body fade away. Let the life of God on the inside of you be more real to you than the body that you have. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't it interesting that Adam and Eve didn't find out they had a body till sin showed up and the life of God was gone? All of a sudden the life of God is gone. Sin shows up and like, oh, what's this? Woo. But as long as the life of God's flowing, I mean, they didn't even know they had this thing. Come on, how many times did you hear Brother Hagin say, sometimes I'm going through life and forget I even have this. Come on, guys, we've heard those things for years and we've just lived. There's a way to go higher. There's a way to go further. Come on, Brother Hagin prophesied it in 1982. He said, there in these last days, there's going to be a new breed. There's going to be a new breed. There's going to be a new breed. There's going to be a new breed who won't be greedy of filthy lucre, who won't be going after fame, who could care less if God will use me, if God can use you, I don't care. But we're going to go after this thing, and the supernatural is going to be experienced and manifested like it's never been before. Healing's going to be flowing like it's never been before. Devils are going to be cast out like they've never been before. And yet it's not because God's going to give you something extra special. It's because God will got it on the inside of you, and all of a sudden you awaken the sleeping giant to who you are in Christ, and when you found out who you are, you started walking in Him and living in Him and letting Him have your being through you, walking through you. Come on, as you have received Christ, now walk in Him. And it's those that will begin to walk in Him that all of a sudden the world that's been groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God will say, there's one, and 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 there's one, because they've been waiting for so long, and all they've been getting is preached to in lectures. But we're finally going to raise up and not just have lecture, we're going to have lab. Come on, we're not going to have just tell, we're going to have show. Come on, God loves show and tell. Jesus said it. He said, it's not about just what I say, but if I don't do the works, then don't believe what I said. When's the last time you had a preacher stand up and say that? If I don't prove it, everybody don't come back. Where are those preachers? We're raising up some right now. Oh, wait. I'm not talking about just the preachers. Where's those Christians? Why? Because it's not supposed to be about the preacher. It's not supposed to be about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the padre of the running with Jesus, full gospel Baptist church. It's supposed to be about the believer. It's supposed to be about the Christian. It's supposed to be about the Son of God, the child of God, the one that's in union with the Christ. That's what it's about. Come on, what's the purpose of the ministry gifts anyway? To equip and train the saints for the work of the ministry. And what's some of the work? It's to preach that gospel and not just preach it. I mean demonstrate it. I mean manifest it. The almost too good to be true news. It's almost too good to be true. They need some proof to show them that it's true. But unfortunately, right now, the church needs to be shown that it's true. And why does the church need to be shown that's true? Because it's not being seen. Woo. Come on, some of you right now, you'll just be working out your salvation right now. Woo, just experiencing the life of God. Experiencing the life of God. Experiencing the life of God. Just experiencing freedom in your body. Experiencing freedom in your body. Experiencing freedom. And even when you start to get tired, you had a long day, you know, instead of going back and opening up a six pack and kicking back a cold one, just experience the life of God. Oh, Father, I thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're with me. Stir up that which is on the inside. Father, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're with me. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. You're always there with me. You're always there with me. You're on the inside of me doing the works. You're on the inside of me working those things out. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29 real quick, and we'll stop right here. Colossians 1 and verse 29. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 27, he said, God willed to make known where the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 29, he said, to this end I also labor, I strive according to his working that works in me mightily. The gospel, Christ in me. And he said, now I'm going to work hard. I'm going to strive hard. I'm going to labor. But it's not going to be according to my ability. It's according to the ability and the power and the glory and the anointing and the life that's working on the inside of me mightily. But what's on the inside of you working mightily is not meant just to work on the inside. It was meant to work its way on the outside. And not just a little bit, not just a teeny bit. It was meant to work its way from the inside to the outside mightily. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, this stuff on the inside is what'll make an ear that wasn't there grow out. It'll make blind eyes be open, deaf ears be open, short legs growing out, feet that aren't there. I mean, cut off limbs start growing out. It's time we begin to expand our imagination, get outside of the box, and begin to realize what's possible in Christ. Come on, the impossible, the impossibilities, the impossible, it's the playground of the Christian. It's our playground. It's where we go to play. It's where we go to demonstrate. And we show the world that what you call impossible is actually possible. Because the world that I came from, we made this thing. I was sent from there so I could go and show the domain and the dominion of the King everywhere that I go. Everywhere that I go. And we make what's impossible possible. Come on, when you got in Christ, you got into the realm of all things are possible. Come on, let's start timing to dream. Start dreaming. Start using the imagination that God gave you to see from the realities of heaven, the perspective of heaven. Come on, where you were raised up with Christ and made to sit down with Him. That's why Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, come on, set your eyes on the realities of heaven where Christ is and you are because you died with Christ and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The life of God in your body. The life of God in your body. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong in the Lord, not feeble. Strong in the Lord, not feeble. Strong in the Lord, not feeble. Strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. The life of God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are your ears? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I felt the right one clearing somewhat tonight.
You felt what?
The right one clearing somewhat.
The right one clearing. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ, we release the life of God. Hallelujah. And what started earlier tonight and be finished right now. Hallelujah. 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 And the left. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, look, he wouldn't have showed me that if something wasn't going on. Yeah. Well, let's prove some balance.
Well,
81-year-old knees. The life of God in those knees. Isn't it interesting? He said the life of God manifests only in 60-year-old bodies.
Oh no.
The life of God manifests only in 50-year-old bodies. No, he just said your mortal body.
That's right. See, I've already
visualized. Yeah, yeah. So when you're ready to go, you can go. But hey, while you're waiting to go, let's just have some fun.
Oh, God's not ready for me to go yet.
That's right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How's your ear?
It's all right.
Yeah? Yeah? You said it started changing? Life of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever been called a bug zapper? Well, you were tonight. You know, it reminded me of a story. How many of you know, have heard of John G. Lake? And remember when he went to Africa and I think it was a cholera outbreak, and the doctors told him and said, you got to stay away. If that gets on you, you could die. He said, no, when that germ gets on me, it dies. And they put it to, he made them put it to the test. And they put that cholera germ on him, and then they put it under a microscope, and it was dead. Doesn't that make more sense now? Hallelujah. Well, we're just getting started. We got a couple more nights, and I thank God for you all. It was so powerful. So, you too, Doug. Hallelujah.